Accession number 28668, Mr. Frank Rogers, Reel 7. Now, what about the winter? The winter, I'm not sure when it starts to come in, but what effect did the winter have?
Well, we'd heard a lot about it, but it was still a shock to the system when it started. And it started about, end of October, I think, roughly. And then I worked outside in Sibley Street, and I've never known frost like that. It was really took hold. You couldn't do anything. It was that bad.
How cold was it?
I think something like 30-odd degrees, but, you know, it was real hard stuff. I'm sure it was about 25 to 30. I have heard it mentioned when other years it was even colder than that.
Now, how did you cope with that? What would you wear?
Well, we had a big influx of clothing. We had a complete new layout of clothing for the winter. Very good.
But what would you wear?
Well, first of all, starting from the feet, we'd have special boots with a gauze sock in it to keep the foot off the bottom of the boot, extra socks, fleecy lined leggings like long johns, only very better quality and air long johns sort of thing, a combat pair of trousers, which was good fabric to keep the wind and the wet out. And on the body, you had string vest, normal army shirt, a jumper, inner combat jacket, and an outer one. And that was on your body. You had gloves that you could do, split them, like you could have them as a full glove or like a mitten. And we used to have what they call a ski caps instead of berries. And the hood on the parka, you could adjust that so you just, with the wire in it, so you just had your eyes exposed to the elements.
Now, was that enough? Were you reasonably warm when you were
there? Well, we was warm while we was on the move, sort of thing. But to stand about, even the guards at night were cut down to a half hour instead of 2 hours on and four off.
Now, what heating did you have? Because you had tents, didn't you?
Yeah.
Or did you get huts built?
It was tents. And then
how did you heat the tents?
We used to have what they call a chuffer.
Now, what's a chuffer?
It was a stove that had a drip feed of kerosene outside the tent, and you regulated it on a valve, and that was their heating. And you used to have one of them to a tent.
But did you have a sort of... What about the fumes?
Well, that was took away by a section of flue, metal liner, and where it went through the tent, there was a metal plate clipped in when the canvas took cut away and clipped to the canvas, so that you could take your pipe through with no fear of it catching a light. There was accidents with them where the tents went up, you know, when they turned the things up too high. But under normal circumstance, it was all right.
I forgot to ask, what about the latrines? What types of latrine did you have?
Well, just before the winter started, what we called a 10-man toilet.
What was it? Explain that.
Well, it was a 3/4 ply frame with a timbers, you know, supporting it, and there was 10 toilet seats. Well, there wasn't seats; they were just holes cut in the plywood. And then that was the 10-man doors. There was Essien screens between the two, all the way along there, and a back. So it was very oriental sort of way of going on. You knew who was regular and who wasn't. And that was a big improvement to what we had before, because everything...
What did you have before?
Well, it was one or two single ones knocking about around the camp, which wasn't very healthy at the time, especially in the summer.
And what were these places like in winter?
Very drafty. That was good. That was good enough. They kept you out in the dry, and you know there was a wall all the way round them as well. I'm just only telling you what was inside them.
Some other things I forgot. What about? Did you have any Koreans working in the camp or attached to the unit?
We had in our platoon. We had six what we call private first class ROC army chaps with us, and one sergeant. So there were seven CATCOMs to a platoon.
And what was their role?
Well, first of all, they taught straight to use a brain in machine gun, which we'd never seen before. That was the first thing they'd done. But they knew the lay of the ground, and if we come across any North Koreans, they got the same language. So in actual, they was like scouts, army scouts, not the. And interpreters in case we get cut off anyway, that.
Were you friends? I mean, were they part of your unit, or were they just attached to you? Did they mingle with you?
Oh yeah, that was in the tents with us, and they was with us all the while. We'd done fatigues or anything like that, but that was always a part of the platoon. Yeah.
You got on well with them?
Yeah, that was decent enough blokes.
Could they speak English or...?
Yes, they could speak quite good English. Because they'd have been handed, the Royal Fusiliers, who was in the position before we... They was the same blokes with the Fusiliers and the regiment before that.
And were there any civilians working in the camp or near the camp?
You might have got what I call a boot boy, like an orphan. Probably used to do errands for the sergeant major and the colour sergeant, and they do a bit of tea in the mornings or doing the washing. That was only I only remember one of them was doing that.
But you didn't have one. And you didn't
No.
What happens as winter gets? So you're moving into winter. How does that affect things?
So everything slows down very very much. It cuts the activity of a battalion quite a lot. Yeah. R&R cropped up.
Well, is it was that before Christmas or after?
After Christmas.
And before Christmas, anything else happened?
And we had the traditional army officers waiting on...
Tell us about your Christmas celebration then.
Well, it was a recognised thing in the army that the grub was, the cooks tried harder with the rations, and it wasn't a bad meal, you know, it was as far as I remember, and it was done, there were beer, free beer, and the officers waited on us at the table, yeah, like it normally is in an army. Apart from that, that's about all I can remember of the Christmas. Apart from feeling a bit, you know, it'd be nice to be home on leave for Christmas, but you don't get a leave when you're that.
Was there any local recreation organised for you, or you know, all?
I was just knowing all battalion football, boxing.
So how did you get any access to that? Or were you too far away?
It was like 20 miles deep of just army. There was no civilians.
What I mean is, did you get to do any of the battalion recreations, or were you too far away from
them? No, I didn't. I wasn't good enough to play for the football team.
But
no.
Was there nothing organised? Was there anything organised for you?
Oh, there was like in the new year, the NAFI, they got more, they even got some Kwanzaa ducks, so there was knocking about for the company office and things like that. You know, Kwanzaa ducks, you know, the half rain. I called them Kwanzaa ducks, really. I don't know whether that's the... No, that's an English term, that is for that. Kwanzaa, I'm sure it is. It might be American term.
But what are they?
They're like a galvanised lot they used to have in the Second World War for barracks, temporary barracks.
And did you get them, or were they just for the officers?
No, that was the use of the rank. Yeah. Not for sleeping in, just for offices or store or even an indoor cinema we had at the finish. We used to have an outdoor cinema.
So what recreations were supplied for you? I mean, what could you do?
Not a great deal. There was not much at all in the winter. In the spring
and of recreations.
Yeah, of recreation, and in the spring and the summer, we got into Italian sport, like boxing, football, hockey, running, and not anything athletic. Yes, we had an athletics competition as well. It was getting a lot better for living conditions after the winter.
And what about the recreation? You mentioned the cinema. What was that?
Well, we had an open air one, and then we had one of them Kwanzaa huts for an indoor one. But the outdoor one was like in a holler with the hills around it, and it was all decked out, going up the slope with all empty ammunition tins, and if you wanted a comfortable seat, you took a blanket with you so you could sit on it. And it was usual army rules with all sports. There was no noise, no cheering, not until the rounds were finished. You know, you had to be dead quiet while they were actually boxing. It was an army rule.
What about the cinema? What sort of shows would you have?
Doris Day was one of the big crowd pullers of the time, and
Doris Day,
the singer.
Just popular films.
Well, westerns. That was always a good favourite, you know. Gone with the Wind. We had out there, and that was a classic. That was, because that wasn't very old then.
And what about the canteen? I mean, was that a bar by then? I mean, would you have somewhere you could go for a drink?
Well, yeah, you'd get your beer there, but you wouldn't stay there. You'd have to, if it was full, and you'd be in like an area what we call a beer garden. We got fixed up, and that would be it. There was no big building undercover for entertainment, unless the weather was permitting. You know. And then that's where you used to use the outside facilities.
So what happens next then?
Well, I went on R&R, but that was at New Year. That was had a 7 days leave in Ibisu, Tokyo.
What was that like?
Fantastic.
Why? What was good about it?
The atmosphere, and you was on leave, you was away from the routine of army life, and everybody was glad to see you. Drinks was on the top of the agenda for a start, or until it wore off a bit, and it was
enough money.
I took £25. I thought I was a rich man, and I blew that within about 4 days. So the rest of the time, we booked up for trips, like visiting the Imperial Palace, going to the Japanese school for police officers, like their training school. Went to Yokohama War Cemetery. And there was all bits like that that filled the time in when it was a little bit low on funds.
Could you get any more, or was that it, once you'd spent?
Well, when you went on leave, if you hadn't got nothing in credits, as they called it, you'd get paid some, but they'd pay you up to a certain shilling or nearest pound. Anything over that, they used to go in credits. And it used to build up and build up. Some blokes never had anything, so They borrowed money to go and leave. Some of them did. Yeah, it wasn't bad set up. I mean, 25 quid in them days. It's quite a bit. Yeah.
And what about when you went back? So you went back. Well, this was the spring, was it?
No, well, the January. I was there for the new year. Yeah.
So December, January.
Yeah.
And was there any New Year celebrations there?
Yeah, we had a big do at Ibisu camp. There was a big meal, and until recently, I had the menu for what we had, and it's gone missing. And it was unbelievable. We never had food like it when we was at home. You know what I mean? It was that well organised. I mean, when we was kids, we never went out to a restaurant or anything like that. So what you used to see in the vastness of the variety of food, but it was an eye opener. Yeah.
So what happened when you got back to? It'd be a bit of a disappointment to go back, I suppose, to Salamanca.
Yeah, the flight back was transported by American Globemaster transport planes, and that was massive. They were, and when we got back, the Han River was in flood to Seoul, so we had to go to a fighter station, and we spent the night there, and that was an experience of having American rations, these K rations. Yeah, it was nice, but it was very rich, you know. Yeah, and then we went back to camp, and the sergeant major was there to greet us. Said, "You had your leave, then it's over now. Get back to square one again." Yeah.
So then you'd restart, and this is where you start doing your carpentry more and more.
Obviously. Oh yeah.
So any other stories that give us an idea of what life is like?
I had the luck of having my appendix out in February.
Now, tell us about that. When did you first notice something was wrong?
Well, I was on guard at the time, and I got this pain in my groin, and I said to me mate, I said, I was on stag with, I said, "I feel rough." He said, "Oh, it's probably you've been going to Tokyo has made you bad." I said, "Yeah, I'll bet." And I passed out when we got back to the guard room. I couldn't stand that pain anymore. So I got the MO, they took me down to the headquarters company, to the MO, and he says, "You've got appendicitis." I said, "It could be peritonitis." So he said, "You better go to the field hospital straight away." And that's where I had my appendix out at the field hospital at Tok Chon, that was.
And how were you treated? Well treated?
Oh, cry, yeah. The food was, you know, spot on.
And how long were you there for?
I was there 7 days. And then I got transferred to Incheon. That was another rest and recuperation.
So what was that like?
That was okay. That was, you know, you're just there, just having a rest, you know, like what they call it, when you go on after an operation. What was
recuperation?
And when I had another week there, and then I was back to the battalion. Yeah.
So how are things? You're still on carpentry. Any other stories of things that happened, or to you or others? Well, I know it's a period of routine, so I understand that it's difficult to get things out. But anything you remember that gives us an idea? What
I cut my head open while I was blasting up on the hill.
Tell us about that.
That was through the over enthusiasm of the plastic gunpowder, not gunpowder. Plastic explosion. Explosive. I'll get it right in a minute. When we used to set it up, we always get it. One would stay in the hole in the trench. He'd set the fuse. All the other lads would be out. And you got out of the hole, and everybody said, "Look up." That was their signal. And we'd all go to other holes and get out of the way. And we was fair enough away from the explosion, And because you always get a bit of crap coming down into the hole, and I happen to catch a bit of flint or something, and it just stuck in my head like that.
Top of your head.
Yeah, and my mate's got. I said, "Christ, I'm copped a bit of rock or something," and the blood, being it was in the summer, it was spring, I should say. It was as soon as I moved, the blood was pumping out something, you know, a bit rapid. And one of my mates looked at me, and I was blood down to my shoulders, and he passed out. I thought, "My mom must be looking a bit sick now." But everything went awful right. It was just a matter of that you bleed anyway, whatever you do, you get used to it. But this was, being as it was the head. Yeah,
were you evacuated or were you just...
Well, I was took away to see the MO down in HQ company, and he said it's not big enough to stitch, so you imagine what it was. It was just like a oversized pinprick sort of thing. And then I was, for about a week or a fortnight, I had this blue ultraviolet stuff painted all around my head and that. And it looks like I've got toothache with a bandage around it.
Now, how are you getting on with the lads? Because, you know, sometimes when there's these, you know, living in boring conditions, boring routine, there's trouble. How are you getting on with them?
Well, you always get one that was a bit, you know, out of order sometimes. But when you're living in a close proximity of each other, like, you've got to get on well with it. Else the life ain't worth worth living it sort of thing. You know what I mean? So everybody got on all right. We even knew the bloke's mother's names and dad's names and family, and you just sort of knitted together.
So you, rather than fall apart, you knitted together.
Oh yeah, you do. I'm not saying just because I was in an infantry regiment, but you get a bigger group of blokes tighter together in a battalion, an infantry battalion, and you would lock in what they call working units. RE's, they'd probably send three blokes out to a company, and they'd be there for 6 months, say, and then they'd come back to the blokes, and they would have no close relations with their own people.
Yeah. What about your NCOs? What were they like to you?
So I never did. We had a crap sergeant.
What made him crap? What was wrong with him, as far as you were concerned?
Well, it took him 18 years. He was a corporal when he came to us. He'd done 18 years in the army, and they made him up to a sergeant. And I reckon the only reason they made him up to a sergeant because they were short of sergeants. Well, if you can't make full corporal before 18 years in the army, there's got to be something wrong with you. And that's what I had
against. What was wrong with him? What made him a bad sergeant?
Well, he'd always had a different... He was in an infantry cap badge he wore, but he wasn't a battalion man. He was a depot man, where, like in the stores or something like that, or on the gate, RP, the regimental police, or something like that. He didn't know much at all about infantry. And, because we used to get into trouble sometimes about voicing our opinion of lose us outside the regimental boundaries. But the majority of them were decent blokes. The officers were okay.
Any particular officers you remember from actually out in career?
Major Macmillan. I can't even remember the name of the Ebertoon officer, and I met him at Colchester about 3 years ago.
So what was Macmillan like? And the others, what were they like?
Well, he was all right as a man, but he was another one. I don't know what he was doing before he was a company commander. Field-wise, he was a bit naff.
And how did it show? What would he do that was wrong?
Well, we was in the wrong positions when we was out on patrols and that sometimes, and it showed. And the sergeant major used to tell him in no certain manner that he couldn't find his way ahead of a paper bag.
So his map reading was dreadful.
Yeah.
Sense of direction.
Yeah.
Anything else about the officers? I mean, were they fair?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they were all, because they were all in the same boat. We got on, or we had to get on all together. That was it. It just the setup would fall apart, sort of thing. Yeah.
Now, so anything else happened? You've got
No.
nothing. I mean, you didn't have much luck. Appendicitis, then you get your head bashed. Anything else happened?
No. 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 That's physically, that was a bit lot.
So, any other incidents or just things that happened while you were out there?
Not really. Well, what started happening then, people started going on demob, not National Service, man, and some of the blokes you'd been with nearly 12 months of your service, it was a bit, that was a bit of a letdown, when we all wanted to get out of the army, sort of thing. But when they started drifting away and we had new blokes in, it sort of changed the attitude was still the same, but not quite so strong. It was, you were having to get on with different people, and sometimes when they used to come out, they used to think they were Jack the Lad, and because they had to be, oh, I ain't going to take any Paladin or that salt tablet lark, I can do without that. That attitude, sort of attitude. And then, because they had to be sort of acclimatised and knocked into shape, one way or another.
We'd have parties when people left.
Yeah,
Well, when you're out there, I'm not sure how much you could, but did you?
well, yeah, we'd probably get a few more cans of beer, or bottles of beer in, and drink his health, and so tell him what a lucky bastard he is going on demand. The usual things. But everything was done in,
Did you know when you were going to be made demobilised? I mean, did you have a date in your
Oh
mind?
yeah, you knew as soon as you joined up, from the day you went in, if you kept your nose clean, you would go out exactly 2 years later.
So you knew you'd go, what, that would be December 54.
No, 55. No, January 55. I come out.
Yeah.
Went in January 53. January 55.
Oh, it's cool. I've been last earlier. Sorry, of course you're right. Yeah. So January 55. That'd be when you expected.
Yeah.
Now, anything else before you? What happens next before you leave?
Before we leave on Korea,
Yeah.
well,
Anything else you remember at all at the
we lost one member of the battalion through an accident.
time? How's that? What accident?
Well, something exploded. He was handling, and he was killed. So.
And were you there, or did you see it?
Well, I was in company lines, not his company, but it was the bang, explosion. Everybody in the battalion heard it.
Do you know how it had happened?
No, not really, no.
So what happens next then?
Well, the battalion was getting prepared to move out of Korea to Hong Kong.
Now, what preparations were made?
Well, stores was all checked, and inspection of your own personal kit checked, and see it was all up to scratch.
And this was all done while you were still at Salamanca?
Yeah. Parades were done, so we were in the shambles. When we got to Hong Kong, we brushed up on a square bashing and rifle drill and all that. It all so we was ready to a sort of a peaceful human settlement again.
So, what month was it that you left Salamanca camp? Roughly.
July. It was
So, you've been there a year?
yeah.
And what happened? What about the move back?
We all got went down to Pusan from the DMZ.
Anything about the journey?
Not a lot. We're just glad to get out of the place at the time. That was it, this even though the 12 months of when we went up, it was a crap heap. With nothing standing. People were begging. They were wandering about with all their belongings, nowhere to go. And within the 12 months, the things sort of settled down. They were still living rough, but there wasn't the movement of people like there was. The kids and the orphans was unbelievable. Yeah, but apart from, it was a lot better, but still a long way to go.